Well, the first thing to notice is that you can be for markets without being against redistribution.
Hi, I'm Nick Gillespie with Reason TV, and today we're joined by Eric Agner. He's a philosophy professor at George Mason University and the author of the 2007 book, Hayek and Natural Law. And more recently, he's written an interesting article in Politico about why Friedrich Hayek would be in favor of centralized healthcare or nationalized healthcare. Eric, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure.
Talk a little bit about this. This is some months old, but you wrote a piece for Politico, which is interesting from a libertarian point of view because you actually point out that Friedrich Hayek, one of the great patron saints of contemporary libertarianism, actually was in favor of things like nationalized healthcare.
He would have been in favor of mandates, I think. The first thing to know about Hayek is that he was actually for redistribution. So this doesn't sound like the sort of thing somebody like Hayek might say. You might think he had a stroke or made a mistake at some point in his writings, but this is actually a theme that goes back his entire career. In 1944, in Road to Serfdom, he said something about how he'd always been in favor of a minimum income for all.
Right.
And the same theme comes back throughout his life.
Right. And then in the Constitution of Liberty, which in many ways is considered his magnum opus, he actually talks about welfare payments, minimum wage, but also he signals that he'd be in favor of some kind of universal health care that relies on mandates. Talk a little bit about how does he square that with the idea of maximum individual liberty?
Well, the first thing to notice is that you can be for markets without being against redistribution. Right? So for Hayek, the central argument for markets, the main reason why markets work so well, has to do with the function of the price system. So Hayek emphasized how forces of supply and demand operate in such a way that prices reflect all sorts of information that any individual member could not have.
So, and this also carries through in things like Milton Friedman, who also talked about a guaranteed minimum income at various points, and of course, in the 50s, popularized the idea or created the idea of school vouchers, and the idea was to create a market in education where there was more choice, and if it wasn't the price system, at least there would be a discovery process by people choosing among different options.
That's right. The important thing to know about Hayek is that you must not interfere with the price system unless you absolutely have to. But redistribution is consistent with having a free market operate and the price system function like it's supposed to.
What, from a kind of Hayekian point of view, what are the limits on that, though? Because Hayek certainly recognizes that when government got too large, or actually in the Road to Serfdom, he talked about how some planning leads to more planning. There's a seems to be a natural tendency for the government to grow to a point where it starts choking off market signals, or the politics become such that people are no longer free to act.
That's right. And there's a fairly bright line in Hayek's work where he says governments are not allowed to interfere with the price system unless it's absolutely necessary. Mm-hmm. Once governments start doing that, we're on the road to serfdom. That is, there's a real possibility that we'll descend into some place we do not want to be. But redistribution is okay, and you could even argue that some redistribution makes the markets work more efficiently.
And what? How do you mean by that?
So the idea is that the price system works so well because prices contain information that's distributed across the society. If some people are precluded from operating in the market because they don't have any resources, the information that they have access to won't be reflected in prices. And so some degree of redistribution, some limited amount of redistribution, might actually make the price system work more efficiently.
Now, to talk about something like Obamacare, I mean, we're less than a year out from its full implementation in January of 2014. One of the things that's striking about it, though, is that it does have an individual mandate, which was very controversial, had to go all the way to the Supreme Court before being, you know, vetted as constitutional. There are all sorts of ways in which the price system is massively distorted in Obamacare. So, for instance, the spread between what insurers can charge people over 60 versus people under 30. Currently, that's capped at about five times per, you know, the average difference. It's going to be capped at three times, which means that younger people are going to be paying more for insurance, older people will be paying less. Is that kind of violence to pricing something that would invalidate, you know, healthcare reform from a Hayekian perspective?
That aspect of the law would be completely out of the question from a Hayekian perspective. The idea of price floors or price ceilings or price controls at all would displace the function of the price system. What is consistent with the Hayekian vision, I think, is this idea that you can distribute resources from people who have more of it to people who have less of it, and that you can mandate people To purchase health insurance. Hayek does not spend a whole lot of time talking about this, mm-hmm. but I think we can fill in the blanks. So he's concerned about the minimum income for all. He's concerned about everyone having access to basic social services. And he proposes mandates, essentially, as a way to get around this. Why would he have done that? Well, the ideal Hayekian system would really involve cash transfers to the poor, and they would
And these specific things, that, I mean, it wouldn't be food stamps, it would be here's cash, buy food with it, buy cigarettes, buy healthcare, whatever you want with
exactly.
it.
Because that way the poor would be maximally free to spend the money mm-hmm. they receive. This might be politically unpalatable. This might be part of the reason why Hayek didn't propose it. But the other thing to note about healthcare is that most people who can afford it actually buy it.
Right.
And so by giving people money and mandating that they buy health insurance, you're not too far off the target.
Why are you interested in Hayek, and how do you see him fitting into a broader range of political philosophy that goes beyond libertarians?
So I originally came to Hayek as a philosopher of science. I was mm-hmm. a philosopher of science first, and I was interested in his work in biology, in evolutionary
right.
biology.
Mm-hmm.
So Hayek has this theory of group selection as an essential part of his
right.
Project. I was originally interested in criticizing that, but then as I read more and more about Hayek, mm-hmm. I realized what an interesting and multifaceted figure he is, and I actually ended up a lot more interested in his work on information and knowledge, mm-hmm. which is what we've been talking about.
Do you define yourself as being on the right or the left, or how do you characterize yourself in an American context?
I don't really use those categories. I mm-hmm. think they're unhelpful. I have very strong libertarian leanings,
mm-hmm.
although I also see a role for redistribution. I see mm-hmm. a role for social services, much like Hayek did.
Do you find Hayek at various points has been the bête noire of people on the left, and at other times people, especially on the left, have reached out and said, you know, this is a guy who has something really powerful to say, both to people on the progressive left as well as on the free market right. Do you see Hayek as a useful person to kind of pull together a new consensus that might get us past some of the sticking points of 20th century political philosophy?
Absolutely. He's so much more interesting than both his critics and his admirers sometimes mm-hmm. let on. I get the sense occasionally that no one reads him very carefully because mm-hmm. there's so much material there. Mm-hmm. And I think you're absolutely right. He's offering a vision of a middle ground. He's allowing classical liberals to say to their leftist friends that, yes, we're also in favor of redistribution. There's a role for that, mm-hmm. but there are certain bounds that we've got to stay inside. And I think that might help us overcome some of the most vicious divisions of contemporary American politics.
Well, we'll leave it there. We've been talking to Eric Agner of George Mason University. He's a Hayek scholar. His 2007 book is Hayek and Natural Law. For Reason TV, I'm Nick Gillespie.